on you, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. That is real good stuff. Yeah. Praise the Lord. First of all, before we get started, and my wife prays me in, I have standing next to me, Minister Lloyd Ruffin. And Lloyd is already has been certified by Soldiers for Christ and ordained by Soldiers for Christ as a minister of the gospel.
Yes.
But he's been doing something very incredible that we did not know he had a talent for.
Amen.
Until I guess about a couple years ago or so.
During COVID.
Yeah. And it all really started when his school kind of honored him for the way he was dealing with the kids.
Yeah.
And they thought, hey, maybe. So, Lloyd, I'm just going to read it, then it'll come out smoother, okay? So it says, certificate of appointment as overseer of the children's ministry. This certifies that Minister Lloyd Ruffin, one who has given evidence of a calling by God and hereby anointed overseer of children's ministry, ages 5 to 12. Soldiers for Christ Global Community Church. I love it. Here on this day, it's the 24th. Is today the 24th or 25th?
Yes,
24th. Hallelujah. April 2022. Praise God. And thank you so much, Lloyd. Have you guys seen the children's room? How beautiful it looks in there.
Yeah.
That's a gift from God. That is a gift from God.
So, you get that.
Yeah, so I'm just putting it back in the envelope for you, Minister Lloyd. And I don't know, you want to say something? You want to sing a song? Or...
Oh, no.
He can't sing.
Self-explanatory. Yeah. I think I'm on the be slow to speak and quick to listen ministry right now. Mm. So I'm just receiving all that God has already preordained. So
praise
thank you, S4C. Thank you, children. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And you see that wisdom? See?
Yes, yes.
He's like, no, I'm just going to listen. Somebody would have been like, yeah, I got a few things to say and a song.
But, it's just awesome the work he's done through COVID and through all the challenges we had, just really just taking on the kids and loving them and also encouraging them with words, the right way of thinking. Mm-hmm. When something negative comes up, he quickly turns it around to a positive.
Yes.
The new word we got this week. What's that new word? Yes, say it. Yes, it was beautiful.
Alyssa was online with her cousin and they had to correct something he said. He goes, oh, that's right, I'm so stupid. And Alyssa said, don't say that to yourself, edify. And she told him that he needed to edify himself and lift himself up so that he can know who he was.
And
I, immediately I said, that's Minister Lloyd.
That's Minister Lloyd. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Edify yourself. We need to take that little nugget and man, any situation. I have a bad habit of Sandy be getting on me too. A bad habit of putting the wrong words out there. So edify is
a good.
It's a good word, right? Amen.
Amen.
Let me pray and go on and get out of here because we are guests. Hallelujah. Amen. Please stand one more time if you can. Girl, don't stand up. Let's just say hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're praying for healing all over the place. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, thank you for today, dear Lord. Thank you for your blessings, dear Jesus. Thank you for your presence in this house, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Jesus, Holy Spirit, for moving, dear Lord.
Yeah.
We bless you on today, dear Lord. We're extremely encouraged and excited about the edifying word that's coming forth on this morning, dear
Woo!
Jesus. So allow your Holy Spirit to move through Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, to speak your truth, dear Jesus. Let us have ears and a heart to listen and receive, dear Lord. And let us just be on fire, dear Jesus, for your word, dear Lord. We thank you and we bless you on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tria. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. And today's title, message title, is Staying Ready to Fly. I am I want you to know that when God called me, another thing that he told me was that I am calling you to the church, to my people. He said, your job is to my people. I'm not calling you to be evangelist, to go out and lead people to Christ, although you will do that, but I'm calling you to my people, yeah, to warn my people, to edify my people, to teach my people truth, to make sure that they're staying ready and that they are being built up in Christ, knowing the word and knowing how to live for me so that they're ready for that great and terrible day, because it'll be a great day for half, but one half and the other half, I'm not sure. Amen. But it'll be the beginning of the rest of our eternity. I want us today to go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26, because that's where we're going to get started today, and that is the whole message. And God gave me this message yesterday. He gave me the verses yesterday, and I was like walking downstairs. I said, the Lord just gave me tomorrow's message. And Drea don't know how me and the Lord works, so, but it's kind of like when I feel like it, I'll let you know. And I understand that, okay? And so yesterday morning, God gave me today's message, and then I organized it this morning. Okay, so Luke 1:26. And it says this: in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at this word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, or Jesus in English." And he says, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Thank you, Pastor. All right. His kingdom will never end. And then Mary, like, I would have had other questions, but Mary's question was this, which is pretty important. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And she says, now, how will this be since I am a virgin? Horrible interpretation, okay? Because what she actually says is, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" Whose Bible says that? Thank you. Whew, English. Okay. So, when you look up the word that she says, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" The word that is written out in the Greek is gnosko, okay? And Mary was letting Jesus know that I do not know a man. And it has nothing to do with intimate or an evening with a husband and a wife. What it means is, how can this possibly be since I don't know a man that is close, intimate, that we're in a close, intimate relationship? Okay? I don't know a man, meaning I don't know a man that I'm in a close, intimate relationship with. So that means her and Joseph was getting married, but it had not become intimate yet. You understand?
Yeah.
So now when you read this, you say, okay, she's saying, I haven't been with a husband yet, so how am I going to have a child? But the word is very important because of the same word being used in Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 21. I mean, chapter 7, verse 21. Then you'll realize in this scripture that Mary was not talking about physical connection with her husband. She was talking about, we haven't even been in an intimate setting yet. We're not close like that, right? He asked me to marry him. Yeah, I was getting prepared, but we're not close like that. You know what I mean? So understand what is being said here. Now, if you're in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never gnosko you. I never had a close, intimate relationship with you. You hear that?
Yeah.
It uses the same word that Mary uses. So this is not talking about physical connection. This is talking about a close, intimate relationship. So what is Jesus saying to these people? Were doing all these wonderful things in his name. Have we not healed the sick in your name? Have we not been great ushers at the church in your name? Did we not sing in the choir in your name? All of this. And Jesus says, I will say to them, away from me, I have never had a close, intimate relationship with you. So what is going on there? That means something was missing between religion and what God requires. Okay? So we have to find out what God requires so that we know we're in relationship and we're not in religion. Because religion means I'm going to do the things that I feel are required for God to recognize me. Okay?
Yeah.
Like the woman sitting there at Jesus' feet and the sister in the kitchen cooking and preparing. And she's like, Jesus, tell her to come in here and help me. And Jesus says, I will not. She's doing the best. She's doing what is best for the relationship.
Yeah.
She's at my feet listening to my words and being ministered to, and I'm getting to know her. We're having intimacy over here while you're doing religion in the kitchen thinking that you're going to get my favor off of the work that you're doing.
Well,
and that's not what God requires.
Amen.
So it's a great thing to know what God requires, because if you don't know what God requires, you might try to give him religion. And then you find out when you get there, religion don't work, because outside of intimacy, you can't get to know anybody.
Amen.
Okay. I always say, don't take your wife on group dates and call it intimacy. That's not intimacy. We need quiet time together. Me and you sitting down, talking, laughing, whatever. We're getting to know each other. This is an intimate moment. And God is saying the same thing. Forget, okay, I know you go to church. That was a great group date. But if you say we had an intimate evening, you're lying.
Right.
Because that was a great group date. But can I have some quiet time, just me and you? And I'm telling you, reading your Bible at home by yourself is way more inviting and beautiful to God than coming here and making a big noise.
Thank you.
Okay? Because that's time he can speak to you. You can speak to him. You guys can get to know each other. You can find out what you need to change, what he wants to change, what he wants to do for you. All of it happens when you're quiet. You understand? And you're spending intimate time.
Now, I'm going to read the rest of this because God wants you to know what happens when people try to have religion and not be in a relationship. So verse 24, it says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it was because its foundation was on a rock. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna read this person. It says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand, okay, on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew it and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Okay? So there's two ways to have a relationship with God. What are the two ways? You can hear the words, but you don't do them. You understand? You can hear the words, but you don't do them. But he says, everyone who hears the words and don't do them, you might as well build your religion on sand, because you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, away from me, I never had an intimate relationship with you. So how do you build a relationship that's built on a rock, that's built on a solid ground? It's to do what has been spoken, yeah. To do what Jesus says.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, a young lady, she said, well, you know, I met this really nice guy and he even came to church with me. And he's been talking about marriage. And I said, is he saved? He came to church with me. I didn't ask you if he came to church with you. I asked you, is he saved? And she said, I think he is. I said, go back and ask him.
Right.
And ask him, when did he get saved? And tell him to tell you what his experience was when he got born again. Because that's something you might want to know before you get into a relationship. Because it sounds to me like you're falling in love.
Right.
So she went back and asked and said, are you saved? When did you get saved? And he said, I've always been saved. I've been going to church since I was a little kid. She came back and told me. I said, he ain't saved. First of all, there was no intelligence in his answer, because nobody has always been saved.
Right.
Maybe Jesus, but ain't nobody been born saved, right? So, I said, well, here's what the scripture says. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay? So this is a commandment from God to you, to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. She said, well, I think I can change him. And I think since he's willing to go to church with me, I think he will change and he will eventually get saved. Well, when he eventually gets saved, eventually go out with him. When he eventually gets saved, eventually go out with him.
Right.
But don't go out with him yet, right? Okay, so that relationship crashed and burned. But I knew from the beginning that wasn't going to work, because his father is not your father and his thoughts are not your thoughts. So eventually he's going to start thinking like his father. And I'm saying it doesn't matter if he disguised it with a few church visits. That doesn't mean he's saved. You understand? Now, all I was telling her was this. There's some words that Jesus has spoken. If you listen to them, you'll build your house on a rock. If you don't listen to them, you'll build your house on sand. So this is how it crashed and burned. She left the church and he left the church. Then they joined this thing called, I forgot, it's some wacky African religion thing, right? And I'm like, so you didn't pull him in, he pulled you out. So that means that whole thing collapsed. Okay, because now neither one of them are saved, because they believe in the praying to the ancestors. Like, girl, you better stop watching Black Panther. Get yourself back in church. No, praying to no. But this is what I'm saying. Now, that was just one scripture. The Lord is telling us, the words that I speak, I want you to do them, not just to hear them, but to do them. That's just one commandment. There are many commandments.
Amen.
Let's continue. In a relationship, the Lord was telling me this morning, time flies and people get busy. That's just a natural relationship, right? Time flies and we get busy. And then if time flies and we get busy, we forget to be intimate. Then we grow apart. And then sooner or later, someone says, well, I just feel like we're not on the same page. I want to get divorced. You know why? Time flew. You got busy. You lost intimacy. The relationship went away. You understand? God said, I'm trying to save you from that. Because with him, the same thing can happen. You get born again, you're so happy, right? Oh, it's so good to meet you. I love you. I love you too. Flowers, let's go to movies. Everything, right? Then after a while, it's like, well, you should know I love you. I go to work. What that got to do with intimate time? What that got to do with intimate time? Zero, right? So this is how we come to God, you know? It's like, I went to church. When we gonna read the Bible and pray, like how it was in the beginning when you first came to Christ? When we gonna do that again? I go to church. I'm saying I love you every time I go to church. No, you're not. Thank you. And he don't love me. Well, not all churches have it. But you need to know and understand, intimacy is something that needs to be worked on, honed in on. It's like, I got to make sure that this don't die in my relationship. Because if this dies in my relationship, my fire goes out. So I got to make sure this fire don't go out because I want this relationship, yeah. Right? So this is the whole thing about the oil. I'm constantly putting oil in my lamp. You understand? Yeah. Me and Drea still have dates. Matter of fact, every time we go somewhere, I say, is this a date? Because at the end of a date, you can get a kiss. Woo! So I say, we go to the supermarket. I say, is this a date? She's like, this ain't no date. We just go to the supermarket. But I'm trying to keep intimacy. You understand? Okay, now watch this. We're going to find out something that's very true. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Watch this. Elohim Tov. One of these days, I don't know. I wouldn't want it to happen, though. But God is always with me when I come here. And I know it. You in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Verse 4, okay? Now listen to this. This is the prayer, and the Lord says, start at 3. It says, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey. This is what God is saying to Israel, okay? Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey. Shema Israel, you know the Shema? Shema in Israel, in Hebrew, means hear me. But if you want to say obey me, you go Shema. So Shema is not just to hear, it's to obey. If you hear my words and you ignore them, you're building your house on sand, right? But if you hear my words and you do them, then now you're building your house on a rock. So some people don't hear the words, okay? They hear the words, but when it comes down to being them, they're going to be them because God won't take your will from you. So you have to basically give the will to God and say, I know I want to, but I'm not because the word says I shouldn't. You cute, but you got to go. Right? Basically, right? Right? So when you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you and your house will be built on a rock. Because everything that Satan tries to give you is eventually given to you as a poison. Right. It's there to destroy you, not to build you up. Right. It starts off looking good, but it'll destroy you. So this is it. Check this out. So I'm gonna go down to verse 4. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 4. So he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today, they are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down, when you get up, tie them as a symbol around your arm and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frame of your house and put them on your gates." So it seems to me like God wants him to always be on your mind. Amen. You understand? Amen. Now, does that sound like a casual relationship?
Not at all.
That's not a casual relationship. That's somebody telling you, like, if you want to be in this, let me tell you how I want to be loved.
Right.
And so if you don't love God the way he wants to be loved, you think he's going to accept your casual relationship?
No.
We get back to Matthew 7, okay? Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord." Why? I'm going to give you the relationship I want to give you, not the one you want.
Yes.
And some people don't want to compromise, especially when it comes to love. It's like, no, we either in it or we out, okay? People don't do... There's some people don't do casual dating. Single mothers don't do casual dating. I don't do casual dating. Either you want to get married and do something real, but I don't date. I'm a single mother, right? Either bring a ring and be real or step, because I don't have time for that. I'm not 20, you know? So, and this is how God is. God don't want to do a casual relationship with you. He wants to do a very deep, intimate relationship with you. And when you try to give him something that he didn't ask for, then it's rejected. So then they come to God and they say, "In your church, we healed the sick. We gave to the poor. We were ushers. We sang in the choir." And he says, "Away from me, we never had an intimate relationship. You did what you wanted when you felt like it. You were not intimate with me. You never had time for me. I would want to just sit down and read the word with you and explain some things, but you never had time for me." So our relationship grew older, and time flew, and then we fell apart. And then now you're back in the world. And now you ask, how did it happen? You let the intimacy die. So you got to be... Your intimacy with God is something that you have to protect, because it always builds you up. You understand? It always keeps you strong, because you're before God every day. Now listen, there is a scripture that says, if a person sees God face to face, he will die. But there are prophets who want to see God face to face. But God tells them, "I want you to see me face to face." And he's like, "No, Lord, if I see you face to face, I'll die." God says, "I want you to see me face to face." Why? I want you to die. Not physically, to yourself. If you see God face to face, if you're spending time before him face to face, the old you will die. And this is what God wants. He wants the old you to slowly die away, dissipate, till people like, "I remember you when you weren't saved. You don't even seem like the same person." You got that right. Okay? So understand what God is requiring. He's requiring an intimate relationship with you.
Amen.
Now watch this. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Elohim Tov. Someone said, "That's the Old Testament." Here we go. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to be in verse 28. And it says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating." Notice that Jesus had given them a good answer. he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, in your Bibles, it might say, which is the first, okay? But what he's saying is, which one of the laws takes precedence over all the other laws?
Right.
Jesus says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So Jesus is in the New Testament saying, it still applies. Still how God wants to be loved, okay? Now, if you have, look, don't make God an idol. Don't make church your relationship. Make your intimate time with God your relationship. That's why I say you don't need to be, I love the church and God wants us to be gathered together. God wants us to strengthen each other. But if all of your strength comes from only when we're here, you're fooling yourself. Your strength has to come from, I need y'all, my mom used to say, I need y'all to get out the house. She said, because I need to spend some time with the Lord. And we'll leave and go play. We like, good, you know, we get to go play. And we go outside and come back. She's still praying. And then she's like, you go in, you see her, you know not to disturb her because you can get whipped. So you just go back outside and play some more. And you come back in, she's still praying. And I was like, her time, her intimacy with God was very important to her. To the point where she knew she couldn't have it with all these kids in the house watching cartoons. Y'all got to get out of here. And so your intimacy has to be very, very important. You understand?
Yes.
Let me see if I'm supposed to read more. No, I'm done. Now, we're going to get back to that. I think, let me listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay. We'll get back to that, but now we're going to look at something. Watch this. Me and Grave were talking. We were having our Bible study, and our Bible study was Abraham the movie, right? Okay, now Abraham the movie, I want to ask you guys something, okay? And me and Greg went through this when we were there, okay? Pastor Ben, where were you born?
Ohio.
What city?
Toledo.
Toledo. Okay, how old are you right now?
62.
What year were you born?
60.
What's your mother's name?
Kareem.
Okay. Now, since we already established his truth, can I stand up here and say, you know, I know Pastor Ben. He's 27.
Ooh.
You would know what?
I'm lying.
Okay. He was born in Miami, Florida.
Ooh.
Wonderful man of prayer. You'll be like, he is a lying prophet. He was not born in Miami. He was born in Toledo, Ohio, right? And his mother's name is Shaquita. And I'm telling you, before you know it, you would know that I'm lying because I don't know the base of Pastor Ben's story. I can't tell you any more about Pastor Ben. You know why? I've already lied about the basic stuff. You understand? So I'm trying to explain to you guys something. Because God says today's message is staying ready to fly. There's so many liars out there. They're just lying. One guy had a send me a thing, said the guy said, Revelation chapter 4 is not the rapture, and we're already in the fifth seal.
Really?
And people were like, oh, we're gonna open for callers now. You think one caller said, if I was a caller, I would go, you a big fat liar, get off TV. I would have said that, right? Not one. This incredible information you're giving today. Could you tell me this? And I'm like, will somebody call in and say the guy's lying? Not one. Which tells me what? They aren't reading their Bibles.
Right.
They don't know the basic truths of God. So they're lying. So when they hear a liar,
right.
And Satan is never, if Satan was a counterfeiter, you think he'd make orange $4 bills? If you was a counterfeiter, would you make orange $4 bills?
No.
You'd be in prison. You'd be in prison the first day, right? Okay, so this is the basic of God, okay? And I want to I just want to go through this, because when I finish, and I hope I have the time, when I finish, I want you to know this is the basic truth of God. And I'm going to try to go through this as fast. Abraham, the movie, is based on, and God had me name these 17 Bible studies after movies, saying that they are movies because they are really people playing the role of Jesus before Jesus gets here. You understand? And so every time we read one of these stories in the Bible, we're supposed to look for Jesus. God said, you learn Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible. And this is what he taught me. Every book you read, find Jesus. Okay? So in this, it says, it's the movie. Abraham is playing the role of God. Sarah is playing the role of Mary. Isaac is playing the role of the son. Eleazar is playing the role of the Holy Spirit. And Rebecca is playing the role of the bride of Christ. Okay. So now, before we get started, I will read Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. And it says, after these things, the word of God came to Abraham, to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Now, Eleazar in Hebrew means God's helper. Okay? Now, if I go to John 15, 26, you can write this down, but don't go there because I'm going to be moving fast. It says, John 15, verse 26, it says, Jesus says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So Jesus calls the Holy Spirit Eleazar, or the helper. But since he's speaking Hebrew, he says Eleazar, okay? I'm going to send you the helper, okay? So the helper is the Holy Spirit. Now, in Genesis 18:9, it says, then they said to, where is Sarah, your wife? So anyway, the angels come to him, and they say, where is Sarah, your wife? And he tells her where, and then he goes and tells Sarah, you're going to have a child next year, okay? And Sarah believes him, and Sarah's going to have a child, okay? Now, when the child is born, God comes to Abram and says, here's what he says. Here, let's go here. God says to him, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, your only son, the one whom you love. Okay? For God so gave his only begotten son, right? So understand, Abraham is playing this role of God. So now he's going to give his only begotten son, whom he loves, and God is telling him to go and sacrifice him. I don't have to read this. I know this. Now, he's on his way to go and sacrifice Isaac. Don't think that Isaac was 4 or 12. Isaac was 30 years old. Abraham is almost 100 or 99, right? So at any time, Isaac could be like, you ain't binding me to nothing and you ain't sacrificing me. I mean, you're not old enough to whip me. I'm 30 and you're 99. So that means that Isaac is going through this voluntarily. He knows he's going to the sacrifice. He doesn't know it's him, though. Not yet.
Right.
Okay? When he gets there, he knows. So he gets. So they're walking to the Mount Moriah, which today is called Calvary, right? So he's taking Isaac to the exact same mountain that Jesus is going to die on. And he gets to the mountain, and then it says, oh, well, on the way to the mountain, he says, oh, by the way, you carry the wood. I got the knife and the fire.
Wow.
What's the fire for? You're going to be a burnt offering. The lamb's going to be a burnt offering. That means you got to be completely consumed. So they finally get there on the third day, and he says he arranges the wood. Then he lays Isaac on the wood, and he binds him to the wood. Now, Isaac is 30. He's not 2. He's binding him. And Isaac is going, whatever God wants to do, let him do. So Isaac gets himself bind, okay? And then Abraham takes the knife, and the angel says, don't do it. Now I know that you believe me. Now I know that you, he says, because of this, God anointed him as being righteous because he believed God, right? So now he's done all this. Now, once he gets him back, this was the third day. So that means for 3 days in Abraham's mind, Isaac was already dead. But now on the third day, God says, don't kill him. He gets him back. Is this the whole story of Jesus or what? He gets his son back on the third day, right? Now, the question is this. Does it end there? Is that it? Once he resurrects, that's it? Okay. So here's the rest of the story. Oh, watch this. Let me go here. Okay. Genesis chapter 24, verse 2 through 4. It says, and I will make you swear by the Lord. He's talking to Eleazar. I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom you dwell. So Abraham said to the oldest servant in his house who ruled over all he had. And who was that? Eleazar. Okay. And he says, please put your hand under my thigh, but you will go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. So Eleazar takes off. Okay, listen to this part. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, exceeding reward. But Abraham said, what will you give me, seeing that I am the heir? Okay, that's going back to that. He's Eleazar. Okay, now, Eleazar takes off with a promise to Abraham. What? I'm going to get your son a bride, and I'll be back. Okay, he goes and he finds Rebecca. And he's convincing her to come back with him and marry the son of his master, right? Because he's Eleazar, he's the helper. And he convinces her to come back. She is willing then to say, okay, now I'll go back with you and I'll marry your master's son. She's never seen him, like we've never seen Jesus. But she's now, Eleazar picks her up, puts her on the camel. They're headed back together to go so she can marry Isaac. Isaac is not at his father's house when he finally sees her. He decides to go down south to Beer Lahai-Roi and hang out there. And they don't say he knew a bride was coming. He just say he went down south. When he goes down south and he's staying there, he sees Rebecca coming up, and he says, who is, and she says, who is that? She says, that's my son's master, my master's son. And then they meet where? Down south, because he's got to come down to the cloud before he takes you up. That's basic biblical understanding, right? So you can never say, oh, Jesus is just coming back and there's not going to be a rapture, because it says he's coming down, then he's going to meet you there, and then he's going to go up. You understand? So these are basic things that you have to know about scripture, or else people could come to you and tell you all kinds of lies and you'll believe it. They'll tell you the Holy Spirit is not here. Now, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is here for a bride for the Son. You understand? This has nothing to do with the rescue of Israel at the end of the tribulation. He came for a bride to take back to heaven to meet to marry Isaac. So this is basic information so that you know that the bride has to leave here and go back. And who's delivering? Eleazar, the Holy Spirit is taking, right? So all of this is so that you know that there is going to be a rapture. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here to find a bride. The Holy Spirit is going to take the bride back. You understand? Now, when Jacob gets married, and we'll go to another story, once Jacob gets married, he's supposed to marry the younger daughter, but he ends up marrying the older daughter, which is Leah. He marries Leah, and he says, I was supposed to marry Rebecca, and you gave me, or Rachel, and you gave me Leah, right? He says, well, give this bride her full celebration of 7 days, and then work an additional 7 years, and you can have the other bride as well. So the first marriage is to Leah, who has how many children? 7. How many people? How many churches? 7. Everything is telling you, okay? Even with David, who met Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the daughter of 7, who ends up marrying a Jewish king. You understand? Because Bathsheba's husband is not Jewish, and I don't know if Bathsheba was Jewish. So I want you guys to know God gives you the basics so that when you get to the real story, people can't come to you and lie. You understand? How many more years is he going to work to get the second bride? 7. Let me hear one of you say, he said he's going to work 14 more years and he'll get them. See, it's not in the Bible. So you can't lie to me because I know the basics. You understand? Praise God. God said, I can get back to the other part now. Go to Luke chapter 21. Know your word so people can't lie to you. Amen. There will be a rapture. Why? Because Genesis said so. Not because the New Testament says so. Genesis says so. Because Adam was killed, pierced in the side, and when he came back to life, guess what? What came out of his side? God made a woman and brought the woman to him. Did he come get the woman? No. So that means the basic is the bride has to be brought to the Adam, right? And Jesus is the second Adam. So you already know there's going to be a rapture. Why? Because the Genesis says so. Amen. We can go through the rest of the books, and then, you know, then Deuteronomy will say so, and then all the books will say so. But you have to know and understand God has already spoken the truth in every book. Jesus said the volume of the book is written about me. So your job is to find Jesus in whatever book you're reading. Okay? Now, here we go. God said, get back to the message now. Here's the message in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. It says, be careful. You hear that? Be careful. Who's he talking to? Christians, people who believe in him. Be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. You understand? God said, you be careful.
Amen.
Be careful for what? That you stay in intimacy, that you keep your flame lit. You be careful to do this, or else you might end up doing the opposite of what God, maybe you might not turn into a drunk, but it says the anxieties of life could pull you away from God. So it says, you be careful. How are you going to be careful? I'm going to make intimacy with God my number one thing. Why? Because that's what he requires. He doesn't require you is not required for you to pay tithes. You understand? That's not what he asked. He said the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The greatest commandment, not to pay tithes, okay? Your greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with everything that's in you.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So understand what God requires. He doesn't require that you keep certain festivals and the Sabbath. You must keep the Sabbath. You know, if you don't keep the Sabbath, I said, what's the greatest commandment? He would have said, oh, it's that you keep the Sabbath. No, that's not the greatest commandment. That's not what I want. That's not what I required.
Right.
What do I require? That you love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength.
Yeah.
That's what I require. The rest of it is just icing. I want the cake from you.
Right.
And so God wants us to love him. Look, do not try to have a casual relationship with God. It won't work.
Amen.
The enemy will pull you away.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Okay. He says, it says, It says, or you'll be weighed down with the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Mm-hmm. Be always on watch. Pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Now listen, I know waiting on the rapture can be hard, especially if you don't love Jesus. You understand that? Anybody can get excited about a date or a big event. You might even be able to get excited about your wedding because you know you get to wear a dress and everybody's going to be there and you're going to dance. But can you be excited about the man you're about to marry if you know that there's not going to be a wedding? Mm. Maybe you're just going to get married in a little cave and nobody's going to be around and you don't get to wear a dress. Are you still excited about that man? Or were you excited more about the wedding? I'm excited about the wedding.
Yeah.
I don't want to marry you if I can't have all my friends and have 10 bridesmaids and a big dinner. If I can't have that, I don't even want to marry you. Because you might not love the man.
Right.
You might just love marriage.
Right.
Your desire for your whole life, I want to get married. I've seen them on TV. They're so awesome. What about the man? Oh, he's all right. So God wants to know. I know waiting on the rapture is hard, but if you're in love with Jesus, it took, man, how, that guy worked for 7 years.
Yeah.
And it said the time went by so fast, he didn't even, because he was, his whole mind was like, I'm in love with the woman. So the time went fast. It's like, he was willing, you understand? You won't be so worried about the wedding day if you love the person you're marrying. And then the rapture don't happen in what? Let me tell you what happened with Paris. Paris missed his flight when we were supposed. We went to, got there 1 a.m. and they said, you can't have a one-way ticket. You can't fly because you have a one-way ticket. You have to have, and they said, Paris like, well, just sell me the ticket here. They wouldn't even sell him the ticket. So that he could have a two-way ticket. So we had to go back to the airport like 3 a.m, pick him up, bring him back home. Did he get home and unpack his stuff and say, well, I guess that's it?
Nope.
I said, man, that guy's got some determination to do what he's decided to do. He got on the phone. By the time we woke up, he said, I already bought a round-trip ticket. His mother was like, come on, now we're going to call the people and complain and try to get your money back and tell them what they... He said, I already bought a ticket, Mom. I'm ready to go. Matter of fact, I leave tomorrow at... We was like, what? See, because the rapture don't happen, don't mean you unpack your bags and go home. But the base of the scripture says what? He's coming down and you're going up.
Yep.
I've told you the same thing since Genesis. You don't have to believe me, but I was reading the other day, the whole earth will hear the trumpet and will be terrified.
Yes.
And when you leave, they won't see you again till they see all the people
Hallelujah.
Who left, not ever knowing death, returns. You understand? So you say, why would you believe that? Because Israel is back in this country. They got Jerusalem back exactly 19 years because the cryptocurrency is code 666 because the Bible keeps coming true. That's why I believe all of it. So I'm telling you, the Lord is coming. That's not the problem. The problem is, are you going to stay in relationship?
Yes.
Are you going to stay in intimacy? You understand? Do you love marriage, or do you love the person you're marrying? Man, I love Jesus.
Amen.
I would serve Jesus if God wrote in the sky, there will be no rapture. You're just going to have to live it out and do the best you can. And God wrote it in the sky. I would say, I love you still. Because you know what? I don't curse anymore, and I can't figure out why. I don't know how you did that. You know what I mean? I'm not a lustful, no good man anymore. And I don't know how you did that. You know what I mean? When God changes you and he does these things, I'm not addicted to drugs anymore, somebody might say. I don't care if you come back or not. I don't know how you got me off drugs.
Right, right.
Because you're in love with the person because of what he did. You understand?
Amen.
Don't be in love with the event. Be in love with the person throwing the event.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2.
Amen.
And then we're going to finish up. Sorry, Pastor Ben. I told you. I apologize for going over before.
You apologize in advance.
In advance. Yeah. Hebrews, is it chapter 4 or is it chapter 2? Therefore, it says 1 through 16. Pay careful attention. Okay, it's chapter 2. I'm sorry. Chapter. Listen to this. Verse 1. We're going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to try to read through it so we can just drop the mic and go. We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. You hear that? For if the message spoken by angels, binding, and every violation and disobedient received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he subjected the world to come, but about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care about him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under his feet, God left nothing that is not subjected to him. Everything's under the authority of Jesus. Use the name. Yet at present, we do not see anything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. I'm going to 16, you guys, so hang in there. In bringing many sons to glory, you hear what he's going to do? He's bringing many sons to glory. It was fitting that God, through whom everything exists, should make the authority of salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I declare your name to my brother. The presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. Again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he said, here I am, the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it's not angels he helped, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he has made like the brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful, faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make the atonement for the sins of the people. because he himself suffered, he was tempted and able to help those who are being tempted.
Yeah.
So listen, Jesus has already done it. You have the Holy Spirit, okay? You have the power to live right. You understand that? You have the power to live right. Having the power and the will are two different things. You understand? Amen. Jesus, by giving you the Holy Spirit, you have the power to change.
Amen.
Yes. My friend, oh man, he's, I don't even want to talk about his old life, but I'm going to say his name. It's L-U-C-H-I, Lucci, I think it is. He's changed so much since we first talked by just submitting himself to the Holy Spirit and desiring to change, you know? And him and his church went out witnessing this past week. I was so proud of him. He says, that old problem I used to have, he says, I've been delivered. Okay? His problem was pornography. He said, I'm done. He said, God delivered me. God delivered me. You know why? Pastor Ben said it this morning. God is not going to deliver you from nothing you don't bring to him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I overheard that. If you don't bring it, God will let you keep it.
Yep.
Amen.
If you want to get rid of it, bring it to him.
Amen.
He'll take it and he'll burn it up. Amen. He's paid the price. You understand? We have a high priest. We have a high priest in heaven who is willing to help you get rid of what is not acceptable by God. Don't make God your idol. Don't make church your Christianity. Make your intimacy with God your relationship with God. You understand? Let that be your Christianity. My intimacy is more important to me than anything.
Yeah.
My time that I spend with God, with me and him, is very important. Okay? I'm not scared if you don't show up here, but if I call and you're not reading your word, yeah, I'm scared.
Right.
But if you don't come to church, I don't get scared. Plus, if I know you, I'm like, she probably at home in the closet praying, or she probably at home reading her Bible. You know, I'm not worried about you because I know you. You understand? But I don't want you to make religion Christianity. It's not. Okay? It's not. How far am I over, Pastor Ben? All right. Well, I apologize. We're done.
Amen. 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 Wonderful message.
All right.
Amen.